I mentioned this morning, tonight will be the third in our three-lesson series on church growth, and we're going to kind of go back and summarize a number of things that we've talked about the past couple weeks that I think that are important. We began by talking about how not to grow a church. And remember, we talked about how when we look at our physical body, we know that if we have a swelling somewhere, that that's a sign that something's wrong instead of something being right. And so we know that swelling is not the way for a church to grow. And we talked about a number of ways that a church can swell today by changing the message, by making it easier for people to accept, by changing the parts that are difficult. You will experience a swelling in a local congregation. And we talked about how Paul in Galatians chapter 1 said that a curse should be placed on someone, anathema, if that person or even if an angel preached any other message than the one that they had heard, then that person was to be accursed. And so we realize that even though many in the world are doing that very thing, that's not what we should do. Paul made it very clear in that same section that he wasn't here to please men, but rather to please God. And so we know we're not supposed to do that. We are not to go into any type of entertainment business. And I had mentioned how Denise and I had seen some great entertainment in New York City, and the hundreds of thousands of dollars, the millions of dollars that went into those productions. Well, guess what? We can't compete with that. So we're not to experience any type of swelling by trying to entertain people into the church. It just won't work. It never has worked, and it never will work. Also, by offering physical things only is not a way for the church to grow. And we went back and looked at Jesus' life, where he was very concerned that the people were following him for the sole purpose of what he was giving them, and that was the physical food. And we know that's not the way for a church to grow. And then we talked about how a church was to grow, how we were to plant and to water from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, how our obligation was to preach or herald the gospel, the good news, and tell as many as possible. Because we do not convert people. I can't convert anybody. I've never converted a soul. The gospel is the only thing that has the power to do that, from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And so when the gospel converts somebody, that person is truly converted. And so our job is to do the planting and do it as much as possible. We're to be bold like Peter and John were. In the very early days of the church, Peter and John were very bold to preach that gospel. And they were not concerned about what happened to them physically. So what if they were arrested and they had to appear before the so-called judicial people and authorities? That didn't bother them because they knew they were doing what was right. They were simply telling people about Christ. And if we want to grow the church here, then we need to proclaim the whole message. Not just part of it, but the whole message. We had a kind of a short planning session this morning where I think we accomplished a great deal of good, and I've had others tell me some great ideas this afternoon or this evening about things that we can accomplish for 2006. And one thing that was very clear from everybody was how concerned we are about those people who were once faithful to Christ and who now are not. And maybe they've attended here or attended somewhere else and they live in this community and now they do nothing. They rarely, if ever, come together to worship God. And it was very apparent that everybody was concerned about those individuals and what we can do for them. I'd like for us to think about that just a little bit and turn to the very last two verses of the book of James. The very last two verses of that great book, because it talks about how important it is for us to do that. Last two verses, verses 19 and 20 of James chapter 5. There James writes, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Now we need to consider when someone has, as James puts it, wandered from the truth, that when we bring them back, that's growing the church. Because that person has, for all practical purposes, left. Not counted among the faithful anymore. So when we go out and we bring them back, we help them to come back to the paths of righteousness, and they come back and become a faithful part of the body of Christ again, we have indeed helped the church grow. And we need to see it that way. And so as we have in the year 2006, we have a wonderful goal of going out and doing all that we can to bring those back, just like James talks about. Those who have wandered from the truth. If we will help them come back, to turn them back to Christ, then it says that we will have done what? We'll have turned a sinner from the error of his way, will save a soul from death, and cover a multitude of sins. So we have a great responsibility, but there's going to be a great blessing that will accompany that responsibility when we do that. And we're going to be looking at that throughout the year 2006, looking at ways to approach people and try and get them to come back. Because it's a very important part of why we are here. Of why we are here. And so I want us to think about that very carefully during this year. Last week we looked at Acts chapter 16 verse 5 as a kind of a summary of what growth really is. Acts 16 verse 5, of course we're talking about the early days of the church. And we looked at the two ways that the churches grew. Acts chapter 16 verse 5. The text says, "So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily." They were increased, or they were strengthened in the faith, they were increased in number daily. How are we going to go about doing the first, being strengthened in the faith? Well, there's a number of ways we do that. And we're going to look at two or three of them this evening, but it's very important that all of us are strengthened in the faith. But it all starts with desire. That's where it all starts, is desire. We have to desire to be strengthened in the faith. I'm not going to grow any stronger in the faith if I don't want to. In other words, I can't be forced to have a stronger faith. That's impossible. I have to decide that I want a stronger faith by the end of this year than I have right now. If I don't have that desire, then my faith won't be the slightest bit stronger. It'll be just like it was or is, and I won't grow in any way, shape, or form. Now, next Sunday morning, that's going to be our lesson to a great degree. We're going to look at what Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2, when he says that we are as babes who desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. Desire. We must desire it before it's going to happen. And we have to desire the pure milk of the Word, the sincere. It means unadulterated. It means pure. It means without contamination. The only thing that's going to help me grow in the faith as far as what I'm going to study and read and focus on is God's Word and all of it, not just parts. There are certain things that I like to eat more than other things, but if that's all I ever ate, then my growth wouldn't be like it should be. You know, kids typically like sweets, but if that's all we ever gave them as parents, then we would be abusing them, wouldn't we? We would be abusing them if that's all we ever gave them was sweets, because we know that's not good. And that's the same way it is with God's Word. We can't just read and study and meditate on certain aspects of it. We must look at all of it, because that's what nourishes us. You know, the Bible expects us, after a while, to grow. We all enter the body of Christ as babes in Christ, and we know that. But the Bible also tells us that God expects us to grow. You've heard me say that the saddest thing in the world is to see a Christian 10 or 20 years after their conversion and see that they haven't grown one little bit. That's the saddest thing you could imagine. They're exactly at the same point they were. Their faith hasn't been strengthened at all. And so we have an obligation to desire that pure milk of the Word. If we don't desire it, if we don't hunger after it, if we don't thirst after it, like Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 5, hunger and thirst after righteousness, if we don't hunger and thirst after it, if we don't zealously desire it, then we shouldn't expect to grow. Our faith will be just like it was. Another part of our spiritual growth that's so essential, and the community will see it, people we work with will see it, if we bear fruit as God wants us to. I'd like for us to look briefly at John chapter 15. Great chapter on bearing fruit. We'll read just a few of these verses beginning in verse 1. John chapter 15. This, of course, is part of that great upper room discourse teaching that Jesus did with His apostles soon before He would be crucified. Shortly before they left for Gethsemane. He says in verse 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Skip down to verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That's what He wants us to do, is to bear fruit. And if we don't, we know that there's something wrong. We realize that in the physical world. I remember the Hershey Orchard for years, and they expected fruit on the trees. And if there was no fruit, they knew something wasn't right. Well, that's how God looks upon us. If we don't produce fruit, there is something wrong. Okay, there is something seriously wrong with us. And what kind of fruit can we expect? Well, I want to focus just a few minutes on the fruit of the Spirit, because I have something that I think is worthwhile to say. Let's turn over to the book of Galatians then, real briefly, to Galatians chapter 5, and let's begin reading in verse 22. There Paul writes, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I think he's telling us the same thing that John chapter 15 is saying. If we're abiding in Christ, then we're supposed to be producing fruit. We're supposed to be walking as we should walk. Let's think about those fruit there. Love, joy, peace, and so forth. As we think about this year, certainly a goal should be for us to be more peaceful at the end of 2006 than we are right now. We should be more full of joy at the end of 2006 than we are right now. We should be kinder at the end of the year than we are right now. We should be more faithful. We should be more gentle. We should have more self-control at the end of the year than we do right now. And notice that's something that we have to practice that. We have to want to produce the fruit of the Spirit. See, if we want that spiritual growth, then it's something we must desire and we must try. Okay, it's going to take some great effort on our part for that to happen. And it can happen. You know, in 2 Peter, we have a great lesson there for us about what's commonly called the Christian graces. Very similar to the ones we just talked about as far as the fruit of the Spirit. But notice 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Especially one particular word. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, if you're real fruitful, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice the word diligence in verse 5. If I want to be fruitful, then I have to be diligent. I have to be diligent. I have to really put forth some earnest effort if I'm going to produce fruit. And you can't produce fruit for me, and I can't produce it for you. It is an individual responsibility. And when people in the world see us being fruitful, when they see us being kinder, more virtuous, more concerned about things that are good, more in self-control, more long-suffering, they're going to want to know why. Why are you like that? Because I know you weren't like that a year ago or 2 years ago or however long. Why are you like that? And then here comes the great opportunity for us to tell them why. Growth means seeking those things that are above. All of these things are heavenly things. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and perseverance, those are heavenly things. Notice back in Colossians chapter 3, when Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he tells them this very thing. Colossians chapter 3, note verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, verse 1, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. We're going to experience more spiritual growth by focusing on, setting our mind on things that are above. These things that, like the Christian graces, like the fruit of the Spirit. When we set our mind on those things, those are heavenly things, those are things from above, then we can experience some real, true spiritual growth, and we will have a stronger faith at the end of the year. We will be more mature spiritually and emotionally and mentally in all of those ways. What about some practical, very useful suggestions on how to bring that about? I think there are a number that will work. Certainly three will not even begin to cover it. But all of our spiritual growth is grounded in the Word. It's grounded in the Word. Notice in James chapter 1 what James writes to his listeners. James chapter 1 and notice verse 21. He says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Again, if I want to produce the works, the fruit of the Spirit, the Christian graces, it all is because the Word is implanted in me. It's grounded in me. It's rooted in me. I don't just superficially read it on rare occasions. So therefore, number one is we must be a daily Bible studier. I had reader in my notes, but that's maybe not the best word. Be a daily Bible studier, someone who studies the Bible every day. And why is that so important? Well, there's a number of reasons, but certainly one is because in the Bible is revealed the mind of God. And so if I want to be close to the mind of God, then I need to stay close to God's Word. I need to know what it says. I need to know what His will for me is, and that's the only way. He doesn't speak to me directly. There aren't any inspired prophets or inspired teachers anywhere in the world and haven't been for almost 2,000 years now. And so that's the only way I can know. And so my growth is all rooted and grounded in God's Word, and I cannot go away from it. I don't like watching too many preachers and televangelists on TV and so forth, but every once in a while, there's one on there that I really like. And the thing I really like about him is he always tells his people how important it is to read God's Word and study it and know it and appreciate it and love it. I don't think they necessarily do that always, but he certainly tries to drive home the point and exhort them how important it is to stay in God's Word. Because that's the only place where you can experience growth. Number two, then, is to attend and listen closely in Bible classes. How important is that? It's just absolutely critical. Attend and listen closely in Bible classes. Remember what Paul told Timothy about his mother and grandmother? How that from a baby, an infant, the word actually implies. From the time before he could even talk, his mother and grandmother were instilling within him the Holy Scriptures. And Paul said that was one of the reasons Timothy was in the shape he was in, was because of that. It was because his mother and grandmother had instilled within him that Word from the earliest time imaginable. So attend and listen closely in Bible classes, regardless of how old you are or how many Bible classes you've attended. Always do that. And lastly, participate in worship. Not just come to worship. And you might say, how's that going to help me grow spiritually? And how is that grounded in the Word? Well, first of all, our worship is to come from the Word. All that we do is to have authority in the Word. So whether it's partaking of the Lord's Supper, that comes from God's Word. That's the only way we know how often to do it and why to do it and what's in it. Comes from God's Word. How do I know we're supposed to have a collection on Sunday? From God's Word. How do I know we're supposed to sing praises to God without the use of any sort of mechanical instruments of music? Well, I go to God's Word. That's the only place I know to go. That's the only place that tells me how to worship Him as He chooses. So all of our worship is grounded in the Word. Therefore, when I worship, I'm doing and I'm pleasing God because I'm worshiping Him as He has instructed us. Worship builds us up. Remember when we sing, we're to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We exhort one another when we sing. When those that lead prayer, they're doing it for the entire congregation. So those prayers are going up to God collectively for the whole group. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we do so together. It's something that we have a joint participation in, a joint sharing that's very special and brings us closer together. And as we leave then, we take all that we have from worship, all that we've gained, we've been edified, we've been strengthened, we've been exhorted, and we can take that and leave and go out into the world and show the world that there's something very special about that place. And that's why it's so important for the lights to be on and the doors to be open all of these times. Now, it doesn't have to be filled all the time. Of course, we all wish it were, but the fact that we are meeting is absolutely essential to this town, to this community. It's absolutely essential. It's vital to this community that we do so. We'll be stronger. And so as we close this series of lessons about church growth, let's always remember that while numbers are wonderful and we want as many conversions as possible, God doesn't hold us responsible for the number of people that are converted, because it's only the gospel that can do that. What He does hold us responsible for, though, is the planting and the watering. So the first question is, are you part of that vine, as He said in John 15? Have you been joined to Christ through baptism? If not, tonight's a great night to do it. Or if you've not been faithful as you need to be, and you're wanting to start over and start fresh, the Bible says you can at any time, and tonight would be a great time to do it. So if you need to respond tonight, we certainly encourage you to do so as we stand and sing this song.